Hey Dave, do you ever think about laying my neck down in one of those deli counter meat slicers and going to town on it like a salami? By The Meat Machine, aka Problem Sloth. Read by Jax Longcoat. A Homestuck fanfic. Author's tags: Decapitation. Temporary snuff. Blood and gore. Gudo. Temporary character death. God-tier death and resurrection. Ectobiological incest. Abusing God-tier powers for fun and perversion. Summary. So, decapitation as a sexual activity. This movie is boring as shit. You and Dirk are lying sprawled together on Dirk's bed, staring blankly at the screen. You picked this movie out of a list of the worst movies of the 2000s, thinking it would be a bad funny flick you could both riff on. Instead, it's just bad. Neither you nor Dirk have been able to muster a single quip for the past 20 minutes. If one of you doesn't take drastic action soon, this date night is going to be a total bust. Giving up on even pretending to watch the movie, you twist around in Dirk's lap and lean your cheek on his shoulder to study his face under the shifting light from the screen. He's got a different set of scars than your bro had. No twice broken nose, a gash along his cheek instead of interrupting his jawline. The faint pockmarks of long-forgotten acne. And lower, the clean line that bisects his neck right where you cut his head off. Jane had intended to heal it up all the way, that day, kneeling in front of the two of you while you tried to look anywhere but at the blood on your hands, on his clothes, on the ground, in his hair. But Dirk had stopped her. Said he wanted to keep the scar as a souvenir, whatever the hell that means. From this angle, you can see when Dirk's pupils focus on you behind his shades. Yeah, this movie really is a piece of shit if even Dirk can't pay attention to it. You make an executive decision to turn it off, then chuck the remote onto the nightstand and turn back to Dirk. He raises his eyebrows at you, but otherwise doesn't object. Reaching out in the sudden silence, you touch a fingertip to his neck and run it along the puckered skin of his scar. Dirk goes stiff and still in that way where you can't tell if he's uncomfortable because he's not into it, or if he's uncomfortable because he's too into it. Selfishly, you hope it's the latter.
"Does it hurt when I touch it like this?" you ask.
"Nah," he says in the same monotone as ever. "Doesn't really feel like anything."
"Doesn't feel like anything? You're a little insulted." "Nothing? Damn, and here I thought I had the magic touch, all lighting up your world under my fingertips."
"No, I mean, the scar tissue is numb, so I can't feel much there."
"Oh, so, if I did..."
You spread your index and middle fingers so they lie on either side of the scar and drag them across his neck. Dirk's Adam's apple bobs under your fingertips.
"Yeah, that I can feel."
You trace the scar around the circumference of his neck and imagine his skin parting in the wake of your fingers, his head peeling off and rolling to the floor, blood spilling out from the stump of his neck onto your hands. Your heartbeat picks up, and whether it's from anxiety inspired by the memories you're dredging up or from something a lot weirder, you don't really want to examine. In any case, this is a weird fucking thing to be imagining about your brother who's technically your father and also definitely your boyfriend, and who, on top of all that, is the only human being you've ever killed. Thinking about all those facts together is making you feel self-conscious about your relationship, which really isn't fair to Dirk since it's not like it's his fault that he's your combination brother-father-boyfriend murder victim. Except wouldn't it be weirder if you didn't feel weird about it? You're pretty sure Dirk doesn't feel weird about it, but he said some things that imply that he does feel weird about not feeling weird about it, so maybe that's good enough. Or bad enough, as the case may be, if in fact you're not supposed to be feeling weird about the sick, nasty tangle of interpersonal relationships you've got going on between you. You wonder what Rose would have to say about that, whether she'd say Dirk was maladjusted or you were too uptight, or if she'd find some other angle to work that implicates the both of you. Oh, who are you kidding? It's definitely that third option. And fuck, now you're thinking about your sister while feeling up your bro dad, and Dirk is staring at you, staring at him, and this line of thought is spiraling into dangerous waters fast. It is past fucking time to abandon ship, turn rudder hard to port, and gun it towards less emotionally turbulent seas. You open your mouth to say something, anything, that isn't about how horny you are for your ecto-relatives, and for some godforsaken reason what comes out is...
You ever think about how freaky it is that we have all these potential holes in our body that never see the light of day until one day someone goes all Marie Antoinette on your ass, and suddenly, whoops, it's the grand opening of a brand new fuck pocket right in the bleeding stump where your head used to be. Dirk sucks in a breath, lips slightly parted. And what the fuck are you saying? You must be freaking him out. You have to set the record straight. Not that I'm saying I want to stick my dick down your esophagus, haha, like, damn, why would you think that? How high would you even have to be, etc., etc.? Nah, I'm just, like, making a general observation about dismemberment and its impacts re the total number of orifices we have in our bodies. You dig? You stare into Dirk's shades, willing him to understand that you're not some sort of necrofetishist pervert. His vocal cords vibrate under your fingers when he speaks. Don't take this the wrong way, he says. But it kind of sounds like you want to cut my head off and fuck my neck hole. You snatch your hand off his neck like it's been stung. What? No, that's crazy. Completely batshit wacko. Like, damn, is there even a right way to take that? Hey, Dave, do you ever think about laying my neck down in one of those deli counter meat slicers and going to town on it like a salami? Please detail exactly how many wet nightmares you've had about plunging your pocket sausage straight into that grody lunch meat, and if you can add to that the number of nights you've spent feverishly jacking it to annotated cross-sections of the neck ripped straight from a medical textbook, that would be great. The answer is zero, by the way. What kind of a freak would I have to be to get off on brother butchery? I'm going to stop you right there. Let me rephrase. Dirk shifts and presses his hips up against your leg, and oh hello, that's a boner. Dave, I think it would be hot as hell if you cut my head off and fucked my neck hole. You stiffen up, heart pounding like Dirk just challenged you to a strife. Your mouth opens and closes a few times before you can force words out, and isn't that something? Dirk managed to find something to say that can shut you up for 5 whole seconds. Holy shit, wow, you finally babble. You can't stop staring at his neck. That sure is a thing you just said. About things that I definitely have never given any thought to. Jesus Christ, Dirk. Dirk's face has gone all closed off again. He pulls away from you and makes to get off the bed. Okay, I get it. Forget I said anything. Now if you'll excuse me, I'm just gonna go cut my own head off to spare us both the agony of continuing this god-awful conversation after I went and fucked it up irrevocably. You grab his wrist. Wait, fuck, no, that's not... You're not the freak here. Or, well, no, you are a freak, as demonstrated by your willingness to get your decapitation on just to get me off, but in this scenario, I am freak numero uno because I totally, absolutely have spent way more jack-off sessions than is appropriate fantasizing about using your bleeding throat as a cock sleeve. The correct number of times to jerk off thinking about that, by the way, is zero, or better yet, negative if you can swing it. But here I am at a number that is way more than zero, well into the positive digits. That number line just keeps on going up like it's Miss Gretchner's math class all over again, and she started using some really grody word problems to get the youth these days invested, sickos that we are. Dirk settles cautiously back onto the bed. He doesn't pull his wrist from your grip. Damn. The Texas education system circa 2009 was way more hardcore than I gave it credit for, he says. Yeah, man, it was sick, you say. Just gore and murder everywhere you looked. I swear the teachers used to compete to see who could work the most outrageous shock imagery into their lessons. No shit? Yeah, no, not really. I'm just bullshitting. It was boring as hell. Yeah, he says. Yeah, you respond. The two of you lapse into silence, staring at each other. Okay, Dirk tries again. So, decapitation as a sexual activity. You lick your lips, swallow. Yeah, you say. Dirk waits to see if you'll elaborate. When you don't, he picks up where he left off. As previously established, he says, I am more than up for a little beheading in the bedroom. But it sounds like you got some feelings about it. You could say that. Do you, he pauses awkwardly, want to talk about it? Dunno what there is to say. I think it's pretty self-evident the problems with this scenario. Not really, he says. Dude, you're not seeing any issues with me getting off on the thought of fucking your headless corpse? Nah. Considering our history, it makes sense. I mean, I'm assuming you don't actually want me dead here. He looks at you and seems to reconsider his words. Though you have every right to, I wouldn't blame you if... You slap your hand over his mouth. Don't you fucking dare finish that sentence. Jesus Kringle fucking Christ, Dirk, of course I don't want you dead. Do you know I still wake up in a cold sweat on the reg, terrified that I'll find your blood on my hands and Jane sitting there telling me she couldn't bring you back? Do you know how much worse it feels when instead of a cold sweat I wake up with a fucking boner? Oh, he mumbles against your hand. Yeah, fucking O is right, you say, releasing him. So I don't ever want to hear shit from you again about how you think I should want you dead. After everything I did to make sure Jane could bring you back in one piece, you'd better keep on fucking staying alive or else. Dirk swallows. Got it. Good. Dirk draws his legs back up onto the bed and crosses them, facing you. So, I guess my question now is, do you want to try out the whole corpse fucking thing in real life? Like, would it help you work through shit to see that you can do it and it's hot and I come back just fine afterwards? Or would that just dump even more shit on the trauma pile? Your eyes snap right back to Dirk's neck like it's one of those massive fucking electromagnets you see in junkyards, and your eyes are a pair of not-so-brave little toasters helpless to resist its pull. What does it say about you that you want this so much? You don't think you're ready to answer that question, so instead you deflect like a motherfucker. Rose always says deflection is your greatest talent, so you might as well put your mad skills in the field to good use. Fuck, now you're thinking about Rose again. Why? You shove her smug little grin out of your mind. Okay, wait, back up, you say. Here's what I'm not getting about this whole situation, and that's why you're all ready and raring to volunteer yourself as my snuff sex therapist. Like, I can see what I get out of this scenario, see previous rant vis-a-vis opening up brave new fuckholes and literally holding my bro's life in my hands. Wait, shit, you hadn't said that second part out loud before. Fuck, okay, play it cool. Just power on and maybe Dirk won't notice. Dirk's brow furrows. He totally noticed. Fuck. But what are you getting out of it other than satisfying your massive hard-on for fixing people by means of the blade? Because I gotta be honest, that's not really the dynamic I'm looking for out of our relationship. Dirk does you the solid of not mentioning your massively fucked up yet heartfelt accidental confession there. Not gonna lie, he says instead. There's probably a little of that in there. But this ain't some noble act of self-sacrifice for the good of your boner. In case you haven't noticed, I'm real into the thought of you using my headless torso as a fuck doll too. It's the ultimate act of surrender. Knowing that you could do whatever the hell you want with my body and there's absolutely fuck all I could do to stop you. Dirk exhales shakily. Yeah, that's hot. Huh. Yeah, okay, you guess that tracks with Dirk's general pattern of interests. There's also getting to experience death again, he continues. Your heart clenches. I mean the physical sensation of it, he clarifies. It's not exactly something a dude gets to experience every day. You're not sure if you totally believe that's all there is to it, but you really want to. You're trying to understand here. Okay, but why the hell would you want to go through that again at all? You ask. I remember dying and it fucking sucked, all riddled with bullets and drowning in my own blood. As an experience, I'd rated a -6 out of 5 stars. I am making a scathing complaint to the manager and vowing never to visit this establishment again. That's different. You got shot, right? Totally different set of bodily phenomena going on there. So, what, you're saying that decapitation specifically is a one-way ticket to Pleasure Town? Doesn't it fucking hurt? Dirk stretches his neck and runs his own calloused fingers along the line of his scar, and that should not be nearly as hot as it is. It's difficult to explain, he says. Pain doesn't begin to describe it. It's the most intense feeling I've ever felt in my life. And that's a good thing? Dirk shrugs one shoulder. It's an interesting thing. I don't know if you've noticed this, Dave, but I'm a dude who likes his extremes, and the sensation of every nerve center in your brain lighting up at once is about as extreme as it gets. Well, goddamn if that isn't the most Dirk thing you've ever heard. You guess that solves that. How long does it last? You ask. Like, do you black out right away, or are you rolling around in agony for ages before it's over? Not that long. Couldn't give you an exact time. I wasn't exactly wearing a watch at the time, and even if I had been, I don't think I could have kept my attention on it, what with all the metaphorical alarms going off in my brain telling me all my vital systems were failing. Then do you remember anything from, you know, from then? Dirk is silent for a moment, considering you. Finally, he says, I remember you caught me. Oh, you say. That's... You know what? It's cuddle time again. What are you doing all the way over here a whole arm's length away from him anyway? You crawl back into Dirk's lap and plaster your arms around him. He freezes in confusion for a moment, but then relaxes and strokes your back. After a few minutes of snuggling, Dirk speaks up again. So, have I convinced you I'm not just offering this out of an ambition to make my living as some sort of fucked-up sex therapist? The Freud of flatlining? The Jung of jugulation? Yeah, Christ, I get it. You're just as fucked up as I am. We're two peas in one necrophiliac pod. Cool. Dirk pulls away a little to look at you. So, not to keep pushing here, but what are you thinking in regards to putting this grisly Congress into practice for real? Your heart clenches again, and before you even realize what's got you so wound up, you find yourself blurting out, What if you don't come back? I'm immortal, bro. I'll be fine, Dirk replies easily. No, I mean, look, I know you're a god tier, but what if this somehow counts as something that'll permakill you? Dirk's face shudders back into careful neutrality, and you instantly realize what he thought you meant. No, dude, you sputter. Not just, Jesus Christ, do you seriously think you're so evil that getting praying mantis would off you for real? Don't fucking answer that, I don't want to hear it. I meant heroic. Like, what if somehow Paradox Space decides you really are nobly sacrificing yourself to sexily heal all my grody trauma? You just know that whatever dubiously sapient mechanism is in charge of making these decisions is all sorts of hype to interpret the situation in whatever way results in the most murdery outcome possible, like some sort of bastard genie with a massive spectral boner for ironic tragedy, and dude, why are you laughing? Dirk has his hand over his shades, shoulders shaking with mirth. Can you imagine the tombstone? He snickers. Here lies Dirk Strider, Prince of Heart. He died how he lived, getting his bro's nut off through mad heroic feats of sexual depravity. Hot damn, best epitaph ever. You start cracking up, too. God damn it, stop making me laugh, I'm serious here. Nope, too late. That's the only death I'll accept now. Gonna have to live forever till I figure out a way to get you off that's so immaculate that Paradox Space blows its load over it. Fuck, you choke out between giggles. Once your laughing fit dies down, you take a few deep breaths and wipe the tears out of your eyes. Okay, so we had a good chuckle over that, like, haha, imagine if, but I'm still not kidding, you say. No matter how fucking stupid it would be for this to count as heroic, I still don't want to risk it. I'm not doing this if there's even the teensiest, most microscopic chance that you won't come back from it. Dude, says Dirk, still breathless from laughing. Don't dude me, I ain't gonna risk your life just to get my rocks off. Sorry for wanting to keep you around, I guess. My bad. So that's it? Dirk asks. We're not gonna try it. You hesitate. Are you really gonna blow your chance at this just because you can't get over the fear that getting you off is somehow a heroic enough deed to do Dirk in for good? But damn, you could never live with yourself if you went through with it only to be left with nothing but Dirk's cooling corpse in an endless parade of regrets. God, you wish there was some way to be sure. Wait, maybe there is, but... Okay, look, you say. I can think of one way we could be sure ahead of time that everything would go off without a hitch, but it's kind of a long shot. And? What is it? If, hypothetically, we tried the whole corpse-fucking thing and everything went awesome, afterward I could use my time powers to come back here and tell us that we're good to go. That way, we get a sign. If future me makes an appearance, we can have our little sword party. If not, maybe better to find some other kink to explore. Something a little less murdery. Dirk considers that. But if you don't show up, that doesn't necessarily mean something went wrong, he says. It could just mean we never even tried in the first place. Yeah, you say. To be honest, that's what you're pretty sure is going to happen here, but you don't want to be a total buzzkill. This way, at least it's the forces of inevitability that take the blame for the cock-blocking. So, what now? Dirk asks. Do we just hang around for the rest of the night waiting with bated breath to see if future Dave makes his grand entrance? God, leaving it open-ended like that sounds annoying as shit. No thanks. How about this, you say? I'll make it simple. If we get our snuff on and everything goes okay, afterward I'll jump back to right now. At the word now, you point to the foot of the bed, then nearly jump out of your skin when time folds in on itself and future you pops out right where you're pointing.
Shit!
You yelp. Sup, says future Dave, sitting on Dirk's comforter, bare-ass naked and smug as anything. Wait, is that blood all over his junk? Holy shit. Holy shit. Sup, says Dirk. The angle of his lips is dangerously close to smile territory. Yeah, sup, but like, holy shit, dude, you say. That's me, from the future, covered in suspicious red fluid. Which means that either we're about to pull some seriously gruesome debauchery, or else I just got back from the site of a tragic ketchup explosion and I'm here to warn us off attending the first annual Cantown Nude Barbecue. Future Dave isn't wearing his shades, giving you a perfect view when he theatrically looks over the blood spattered all over his body like he's just now noticing it. Oh, yeah, man, he says. That barbecue was wild. Not sure who invited the crocodiles, but those dudes just go nuts with the condiments. You should see the guy who took the brunt of the relish assault. Dude's gonna be picking dill out of his crack for days. So what I'm hearing is, we should set up a camera at this event, get some amateur wet and messy footage out of it, Dirk says. I guarantee you there's a market for it. Salamander's Gone Wild, Dip and Slide Edition. You giggle a little hysterically. Okay, enough bullshit. I think I know the answer already, since there is no way in hell I could be this chill if I just accidentally permasnuffed my own brother, but I still gotta ask. Dirk gets through this okay, right? Future Dave's face softens, and damn, is that what that expression looks like on you? Weird. Yeah, we're cool, bro, he says. Dirk takes the beheading like a champ, we get our freak on, then a minute later the whole glowy dealy starts up and he comes back right as rain. The anxious knot in your chest unwinds and twists itself into a different sort of anticipation. Fuck yes, you breathe. Dirk seems to be making some calculations of his own. So, I can't help but notice that I got double the Dave in front of me right now. You planning on popping back out of here before the fun starts, or... he asks Future Dave. Future Dave shrugs. I don't know. What do you think? He asks you, raising his eyebrows, and oh damn, you know exactly what he's implying. You look at Dirk. How would you feel about your corpse getting railed by two Daves at once? You ask him. Double the fun, double the pleasure. Dirk licks his lips, looking back and forth between the two of you. Hell, fucking yes. Future Dave grins and fist bumps him. So, how do we want to swing this? You ask. Do I just get my sword out and... You mime swinging a sword at Dirk's neck, whose chest rises and falls with quick, excited breaths. Future Dave holds up a hand. Slow your roll, dude. We got some prep to do first. We only get like a minute with the body before he comes back to life. Gonna want to get our foreplay on first, get ourselves right up to that edge so we don't blow our shot at blowing our loads in Dirk's butchered beefsteak. All this snuff talk has got you feeling like you're already on the verge of blowing your load, but you get his point. Unlike you, Future Dave's still soft, and you know it's not because he's not interested, so you guess from context it must be because he just popped one off inside Dirk's headless torso before coming back here. Like you're about to do. Because he is you. Fuck, that's hot. As you watch Dirk looking between you and Future You, you get an idea for just what sort of foreplay would fit the occasion. I'd ask if you're thinking what I'm thinking, you say to Future Dave. But you're me and I'm you, so I know that you are. Hell yeah, I am, broski, he says. He looks at Dirk. We got this for now. You just sit back and enjoy the show. With that, Future Dave crawls over to you and puts one bloody hand on your cheek. You lean forward and fit your lips against his. Off to your right, you hear Dirk suck in a breath. Contrary to popular opinion, you're not actually that into macking on yourself. It's always just a little too predictable. You don't get that fluttery feeling of anticipation the way you do when you're with someone who doesn't do everything exactly the same way you do. But you can tell from Dirk's rapt stare that he is way into the whole mirror image thing you got going on here, and his blatant lust is getting you going too. Future Dave glances over at Dirk too and sighs against your lips, and it's obvious that he's thinking the same thing. Keenly aware of your audience, you play it up, tangling your hand in Future Dave's hair and moaning. Future Dave slides his hands under your shirt, dragging his nails across your back, then breaks the kiss for a moment to strip it off of you entirely. Your shades get tangled up in the fabric, and you snatch them up and capsulog them before they can end up on the floor with your shirt. Then you figure that as long as you're getting undressed, you might as well get your pants off too, so you scramble out of your jeans and boxers and kick them to the floor. Once that's done, you settle back on the bed. Now that you're both naked, future Dave gets all back up in your business, sliding into your lap and wrapping his legs around your waist to press himself against you skin to skin. His lips are back against yours in an instant. You both open your mouth simultaneously, tongues meeting in the middle, and the shock of the bloody bitter taste you find there distracts you from the awkwardness of making out with someone who's trying to pull the exact same moves as you at the exact same time. Over to the side, Dirk is trying to play it cool, but his slight fidgeting gives away how worked up he's getting. Future Dave disentangles his tongue from yours and leans his head against your shoulder, looking at Dirk.
"What are you waiting for?" he says.
"We want to see that all-beef truncheon. Whip it out, bro." Dirk doesn't need to be told twice. Without ever taking his eyes off the two of you, he undoes his fly and pulls himself out. You and Future Dave watch hungrily as he teases himself, running a fingertip up the underside of his cock and circling it around the flushed head with a sigh. It's not until Future Dave presses his lips to the crook of your neck that you remember you have your own show to be putting on. You stroke down his back, working your way towards his ass, as he nips and licks at your chest. One of your hands smears through a sticky patch on his hips and comes away red, and fuck, that's Dirk's blood. You're really doing this. You're really about to be balls deep in Dirk's corpse. You suddenly feel terrifyingly close to the edge. It would be embarrassing as shit if you popped off before even popping Dirk's head off. Luckily, Future Dave knows what's up and eases off. He takes his mouth off you and leans back, leaving you to reach down and jack off his rapidly hardening semi.
"Fuck, I can't wait to sink my sausage into your meat again," he babbles at Dirk. "I have got to be the luckiest dude in the world. Not only is my boyfriend freaky enough to let me butcher him and use his neck as a fleshlight, he lets me do it twice. God, Dirk, do you have any idea how incredible you are?"
Dirk hisses in a breath, his hand stuttering on his dick, then gripping down more urgently.
"Could say the same to you," he pants. "Can't imagine many dudes would be willing to indulge my decollation fetish."
"God, God," says Future Dave, bucking up into your hand. Then, abruptly, he grabs your wrist and pulls you off of him. He's fully hard now, flushed red and starting to leak pre.
"Okay, okay, I think we're ready," he says. "It's time."
"Oh, hell yes, finally." "So, what are the logistics here?" you ask, trying and utterly failing to keep your excitement out of your voice.
"'Cause I was thinking maybe Dirk could kneel on the bed while me and other me stand. That way, the body'll be right at crotch level from the start and we don't have to haul it anywhere. Downside is, we make a huge mess of Dirk's bed."
You look over the smears of blood from Future Dave already staining the sheets. More than we already have, I mean.
"Oh God, please make a huge mess of my bed," Dirk begs. "I don't give a shit if I have to replace it entirely, just fuck it up."
"Cool, guess that settles that." You look at Future Dave. "Now we just gotta decide which one of us will do the slicing and dicing."
"You do the honors," says Future Dave. "And thank God, if you had made yourself wait for the time loop to sink your sword into Dirk's neck, you think you might have gone insane."
You get up off the bed, Future Dave following close behind. Dirk capsulogs his shades and kneels in the center of the bed. You draw your sword. Your heart hammers in your chest as you adjust your grip on the hilt and shift into a fighting stance.
"We're doing it, man," you say.
"We're making this take place," says Dirk. Just as Future Dave says, "We're making this transpire." For just a moment, you hesitate, staring at your brother kneeling tall and strong in front of you. Then Dirk tilts his head back to expose his neck, looks you dead in the eye, and nods. In a flash, you move. Your sword carves through Dirk's flesh, slicing straight through his scar and clean out the other side. Dirk's head topples off his shoulders, and you flash over to catch it before it lands. His body keels over backwards onto the mattress. Remembering what Dirk said about what he remembered from last time, you lift his head to yours and kiss him. You swear you feel his lips twitch against yours. Drawing back, you mutter, "Love you, bro," and smooth his hair back.
Then it's off to the races as you and Future Dave hustle to bust your nuts before the god-tier clock strikes dumb. When you meet your own eyes over Dirk's head, you suddenly know exactly what you're planning. You toss the head to Future You, who catches it smoothly. Then you turn to Dirk's corpse and tug his unresisting body over until the bleeding stump of his neck is at the edge of the bed. Sick fuck that you are, you've spent enough time jerking it to anatomical diagrams of the neck that you know what you're looking for. There's an obvious hole here, but that's a sucker's trap. That's the trachea, and it's basically pure cartilage. No, any serious aspiring corpse fucker knows the esophagus is where it's really at. Still, it's a lot harder to identify features in the oozing hunk of meat in front of you than it was in the sterile textbook pictures. You run your hands through the gore, searching, and aha, there it is. Right below the trachea is a loose opening, slick and surrounded by muscle. You hold it open with one thumb and line yourself up. The moment the tip of your cock enters the hot, slick tube of Dirk's esophagus, you moan. Gripping Dirk's shoulder, you work yourself in deeper, gasping at the way his flesh squishes around you as your dick forces it open. The blood that's still streaming out of his veins slicks up your cock and drips down your thighs. Once your crotch meets wet muscle and Dirk's throat bulges around the full length of your cock, you pause, panting. Dirk's body looks perfect beneath you, sprawled out slack and sloppy with no trace of the careful tension he always holds himself with when he's alive. His erection is still poking out of his open fly, and even though you know post-death boners are a thing that happens sometimes, you pretend it means he can feel you inside him and wants this just as bad as you do. You draw back, savoring the slick, sucking heat of Dirk's esophagus sliding against your cock, then drive back in with an obscene squelch that shoves Dirk's body backward on the mattress. You do it again, then again, watching his lifeless corpse jerk with every thrust. As you're mincing the meat, Future Dave flops down heavily on the bed beside the body. He's got Dirk's head impaled on his dick, blood oozing out from the neck hole and matting his pubes. He grips the head by the hair and works it up and down, panting, and through Dirk's slackly open mouth you can see the tip of Future Dave's dick pound his palate with every thrust. "Holy shit, holy shit," you whine, humping desperately into the heat of Dirk's motionless body. "I know, right?" groans Future Dave. "God, just look at him. I wish he could see what a wreck he is right now." You are looking. You can't stop looking. He is a wreck, an absolute fucking disaster, with his limbs splayed out artlessly and his shirt drenched in blood. The reality hits you like a truck. Your brother is dead. You killed him. And now you're using his body as a fuck toy two times over. You cry out as your orgasm rips through you and thrust forward shakily into Dirk's lifeless body one last time, pumping your splooge down his unresisting esophagus. Future you bucks up into Dirk's head, and you see his jizz flood Dirk's mouth and trickle down his cheek. You collapse forward, gripping at Dirk as the aftershocks of your orgasm pulse through you. You ruck his shirt up and run your hand over his slack muscles, pressing mindless bloody kisses to his torso, dick still buried in the tight, wet heat of his throat. Under your hands, the body starts to glow. You feel a tingling electricity around your junk and hastily pull out just as the body floats up off the mattress. You don't know what would happen if Paradox Space tried to put Dirk back together with your dick still inside him, and you don't want to find out. Dirk's body is a bona fide light show now, hovering above the bed and pulsing a rainbow of colors. His head floats up out of Future Dave's hands and reattaches itself in a flash of pink. For a moment, Dirk hangs suspended mid-air, glowing. Then the lights fade and he drops back onto the blood-soaked bed, alive and whole again. A wave of relief surges through you, washing away an anxiety you hadn't even noticed was present. "Yo," you say with a little wave. "Welcome back to the land of the living, Bromigo." Dirk opens his mouth to speak, but then retches. Pink-tinged cum dribbles out between his lips. Eyes widening, he clasps one hand to his mouth and the other to his throat and swallows thickly once, twice. His fingers trace the path your loads take down his throat. "Holy shit," he rasps. "You used both sides of my neck?" "You say, Look, my original plan was just to cram my spam porpoise down your food pipe, but then when it got to the moment, I realized there was a perfectly good head right there, and a perfectly good time clone right there, and so I put two and two together and just figured... Dude, that was not a complaint, Dirk groans. If one of you doesn't touch my dick within the next 3 seconds, I am going to explode. Future Dave is on him before you can even react, wrapping himself around Dirk from behind and reaching around to take Dirk's dick in one bloody hand. Dirk's head falls back against his shoulder with a moan, and God, he looks amazing. You need in on this action immediately. So you scramble onto the bed with shaky legs and cram yourself onto Dirk's lap to turn the three of you into a rare Dirk sandwich on whole grain Dave bread. You kiss Dirk sloppily, plunging your tongue into his panting mouth and licking his blood and your own cum off his teeth. You blindly reach down and start fondling his balls, your hand bumping clumsily against Future Dave's as it pumps Dirk's shaft, and you feel like this is on the verge of becoming a comedy routine, but Dirk sure doesn't seem to be complaining. "Can you," Dirk mumbles against your lips, "can you tell me what it was like, using my body like that?" "Oh, holy shit, bro, you were the bomb," you babble. "Like a whole-ass nuclear bomb, the countryside was devastated," Future Dave adds. "Your body was fucking gorgeous, all splayed out and helpless. Your head is like the perfect fuck toy, I'll never be able to settle for a fleshlight again. You took my dick so good, like your throat was made to gulp down my man meat. I could see my own cock through your mouth, bro, it was unreal. You were incredible. Epic. A straight-up Adonis of snuff." Dirk gasps and bucks into your hands, body taut between you. As one, you and Future Dave lean in and kiss the blood-stained scar around his neck. With a cry, Dirk comes, his jizz spurting over Future Dave's hand and dripping down onto yours, and all the while both yous keep pumping him through it and babbling your praises for him. Eventually, Dirk's dick goes soft again and he collapses back against Future You, boneless and blood-stained. You splay yourself on top of him, and under your combined weight, Future Dave flops backward, dragging all three of you down onto the blood-soaked sheets. "God, I'm so glad you talked me into this," you say, nuzzling up against Dirk and pressing light kisses to his jawline. "I should be thanking you," Dirk responds. "If you hadn't run your mouth about the whole decapitation thing, I probably would have gone the rest of eternity figuring I was the only death freak in this relationship. How about we just conclude that we're both awesome and that's all there is to say on the matter?" Future You says, running his hands through the rivulets of congealing blood haloing Dirk's neck. Dirk shivers at his touch. "Concurred," he says. "Damn straight," you agree, tracing your own fingers along Dirk's scar. "Is it a little wider now? You can't tell. You don't think God-tier resurrections usually leave scars, but hell if it isn't hot to imagine this one did." The three of you lay together for a while, cuddling languidly as the blood dries on your skin. Eventually, Future Dave speaks up. "Okay, not to be a mood killer here, but the puddle of blood I'm laying in is starting to get cold, and that's less sexy and more just kinda gross. Think it might be time to start cleaning shit up. Or at least move to a less gory location, not picky TBH." He glances meaningfully at you over Dirk's shoulder. "Plus, there's somebody here who's gotta go back and jumpstart this whole affair." "Oh fuck yes, you almost forgot that you get to do this all over again." You sit up, suddenly feeling wide awake again. "Any last tasks I gotta wrap up to complete the loop?" you ask. "Just one," Future Dave smirks. "Give Dirk a good smack on the lips before you go, would you?" "That you can do." You draw Dirk up and fit your lips against his. His hand cups the back of your head and pulls you in deeper before letting you go. You grin at him, then move to the foot of the bed where you're gonna need to be when you appear in the past. "Hey, by the way," Dirk says. You look up at him, and the corners of his lips quirk up in a full-fledged Dirk smile. "Love you too, bro." Heart light, you pull out your turntables and give them a spin. If only all time loops were this much fun. The end.